having a rest tonight, and praise God. Why don't we stand and take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Won't keep you standing long. I know it's a midweek. Some of you have been on your feet all day. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through to 12. It will also be on the screen. But of course, I encourage you to always bring your Bible to the house of God. I love to see when I get a chance to be out in the car park and see people walking down the driveway to the church carrying their Bible in their hands. That tells me they're going to church. And that was one of the distinctive things between a businessman, someone dressed in a suit, and someone going to church, is that they're carrying their Bible in their hands. And so there's something about it, this Bible. We bring our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Be you therefore followers of God as dear children." There's something about children, isn't there? We're told to follow Jesus like a child. "And walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you." He's talking to the church at Ephesus, as becometh saints. "Don't let filthiness be named among you, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and you walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship," everyone say no fellowship, "with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Second scripture will be on the screen. Romans chapter 13, verse 14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." We're told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. Help our spiritual ears to be open to what you would say to the church. Lord, that we would leave this place with something, Lord God, in our hearts that we can apply to our lives. Lord God, let us receive the warning of your word, Lord God, and let us be prudent and diligent, Lord God, to walk in your light, Lord God, and to not have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness in this world. Lord, as we open your word, let it become revealed to us what we must do. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak on a very, very important topic tonight, and I will slowly unfold what I'm going to talk about tonight. But we live in a very, very interesting time. The time that we live in now is very, very different even to the time that I lived when I was a child. And for my parents' generation, it is even more different. Things have changed. It is no secret, though, that society is very aware that we face a very significant threat as a society, and that threat is the threat of pornography. And I'm going to be talking tonight about pornography. I'm going to be talking about the threat that pornography poses to our society, the threat that pornography poses to us as individuals, the threat that it poses to marriages, the threat that it poses to the children, and We don't like to talk about these things in church. In fact, Brother Ryle's going to hand out some notes there, if you would like to take a copy of those notes. But it poses a threat, and we don't like to talk about it in church. But pornography is the elephant in the room. People don't like to talk about it in the workplace. But statistics tell me, and we know by the statistics, that it is prevalent in our society. Next slide, if you could throw that up. We cannot pretend that this problem that is in our society, and as a pastor, I cannot pretend that there wouldn't be people in our church struggling in the same area. Well, if the statistics are right, and I believe they are, then there are people, including our children and our youth, who are struggling in this area. In fact, some statistics tell us that every second, everyone say a second, 28,258 users are watching pornography on the internet. Every second. 35% of all internet downloads, that's more than a third of internet downloads, are related to pornography. 25% of all search engine queries are related to pornography. And that is 25% of 68 million, do your maths, search queries a day. 34% of internet users have experienced unwanted exposure. There are people here today, maybe even more than 34%, that while innocently on the internet, you have been experienced unwanted exposure to pornographic content, either through ads, through pop-up ads, through misdirected links, or emails. 2.5 billion emails are sent or received every day. 2.5 billion of those emails contain pornography. Every 39 minutes, and this is a US statistics, obviously, a new pornography video is being created in the United States. We cannot pretend that this is not a problem in our society. We cannot pretend that the church will not have a cross-section of society. And so tonight I want to talk about this. I've spoken about it with the youth, and this is not something that that's going to be new to them. We've spoken about it with the men. But I am yet to bring it to the church. I'm going to just talk about that tonight. I'm not going to mix it into another message. I'm going to talk about pornography. Judy Pratt, who's the general manager of the Australian Government Institute of Criminology, she made this comment. This is an Australian Government general manager. She says, the probability that a young person will have exposure to pornography prior to the age of 18, which is the legal age in Australia at which it is permissible to view and purchase such materials, is very high. Everybody say very high. Concern exists among both parents and policymakers, that's bureaucrats, that widespread premature exposure to pornography is changing the nature of sexual attitudes. It's changing the nature of behaviors. It's changing the nature of intimate relationships and is potentially contributing to sexual violence in our society. That quote was made in November 2016 by the general manager of the Australian Government Institute of Criminology. That's a department here in the ACT. So she says very clearly that pornography represents a very real threat to our society. So I don't apologize for bringing this topic to the broader church community tonight. I guess I should be apologizing that it's taken me so long to talk about it, because it's the elephant in the room. And I want to speak about the peril of pornography. The peril of pornography. Throughout life, we learn that we can make mistakes, that sometimes our flesh can lead us down a path that we never thought we would take. We can fall when we thought we were going to be most strong. And so for that reason, we need guardrails in our life. Everybody say guardrails. Guardrails, if you just look around town, there's guardrails everywhere. But guardrails are not located in the most dangerous place. I love to travel to Mizoram, and I've been there lots, and there's big cliffs, very, very big cliffs, bigger than anything you'll see in Australia. And I'm glad to see that the guardrail is on the safe part of the road and not over the edge. And that's where we put guardrails. We put the guardrail in the safe place so that if we were headed towards the dangerous place, we would hit the guardrail first. And so guardrails are located in a place of safety. They give us that little allowance for some margin of error. And guardrails are very, very important in our life. As parents, we're continually putting up guardrails for our children. We put the guardrails in a safe place. You know, if you think about your house, you have a front yard. If you live in a normal sort of house or a townhouse or something, you've got a front yard and a backyard. It might just be a driveway at the front and a little garden at the back. But as safe as it is, you never let your children play out the front. It's safe out the front. I mean, as long as they don't go on the road, they're going to be safe in the front yard. But we don't let them go out there. We say, you're not allowed out the front. The reason why we want to put a guardrail there is because if they play out the front, they may end up on the road. And so we don't let our children play out the front. The other thing we do with our children is that we're very careful about the friends that they choose. Because we want to put a guardrail in their life. We may see something. That child most may be, you know, a pretty good child, but we see something and about that child that may mislead our child, and we say, hey, Johnny, I think it's best. Kent, do you think you can find somebody else to play with? Now, playing with that child is not a problem, but there may be some element of danger that we don't want our children to be exposed to, so we put a guardrail in a safe place. And so guardrails are our margin for error. A guardrail is a system to design to keep vehicles, as you can see this picture, to keep vehicles from straying into the off-limit areas. And in our life, guardrails, and listen carefully, guardrails are that personal standard. Everyone say personal standard. They're our personal standard. It may be fine. Everybody else may do something. But you've got to have a personal standard. Guardrails are our personal standard that becomes a matter of conscience. So by breaking our personal standard, it bothers us. It brings guilt to us. And so it's very important that we have guardrails. Now, I talked about Mizoram and the big cliffs in Mizoram. And there are lots of guardrails. On most of the roads, there are guardrails in those dangerous passes. And I'm thankful for the guardrails. Very thankful. I'm thankful for them. In fact, I wouldn't object if they were higher. I wouldn't object if they were bigger. I wouldn't object if they were further away from the edge. You see, why? Because those guardrails keep me safe. And so I can look at the guardrail and say, that's legalistic. I mean, why do they have to be a meter from the edge? There's a meter more road that I could be playing on. I mean, the edge is here, and why are you drawing the guardrail here? I want some more liberty. Why don't we push that guardrail? Push it right to the edge. And that tends to be the way humans are. We like to live on the edge. But if you live on the edge, you've got no margin for error. You make a mistake, you go over. But if you've got your guardrail, your personal standard in a safe place, yes, hitting a guardrail may make a little mess. But a little mess is a lot bigger than going over the edge. And everybody say amen. And so some of the greatest regrets in life could have been avoided if we had a guardrail in that area. And all of us here tonight, if we're old enough to have lived some of life, we'll say, you know what? I've made some mistakes, and it was because I didn't have a guardrail there. I thought I was going to be okay. I thought everything was going to be okay in our personal life, in our marriage, in our relationships, at work, in our work ethic, all of those things. We need to have guardrails. You see, guardrails let us have conscience crashes. Everyone say conscience crashes rather than life crashes. A conscience crash is a lot worse than a life crash. And so much of our culture thinks that guardrails are stupid. Oh, you don't need those things. Each to their own. Don't listen to that stuff. Nobody likes rules. Nobody likes obedience. But Paul, when he gave us his list of commands that we read at the opening in Ephesians chapter 5, he added to that, he says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15, it followed on when he said that you were not to be partakers in darkness. He follows on and this next scripture, which is about to be thrown up on the screen, in Ephesians 5 verse 15, he says, this is how you're going to be able to live by that standard. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Be careful how you walk. Now, there's a few different scenarios that I could talk about to try and explain to you the importance of working walking circumspectly. If you had a dog and you had a nice lawn out the back and you had to walk from one end of the yard to the other and your dog has been in that yard and you haven't cleaned up for a week, that is walking circumspectly. You are watching every place that you put your foot because there are little doggy minds everywhere and you don't want to put your foot in it. That is walking circumspectly. Then again, you could translate yourself into a situation in Afghanistan where there are mines. You cannot be too careful. In fact, my brother-in-law is in the engineering area in the reserves, and he's learning how to find the mines. And, you know, he's very circumspect. In fact, Brother Ray's son, Daniel. In fact, when he was there learning how to find mines, he gets this little stick and they prod the dirt to try and find the mines. He realized how serious this was that he actually went and got his own metal detector so he could practice at home. I mean, you got to be circumspect. I'm not just going to rely on, you know, a couple of nights a week training on how to find these mines. He realizes, you know, one mistake and boom, I'm gone and everybody's gone. So he's so circumspect, he went and bought his own metal detector and he goes out and he learns how to use that because he wants to know that when the time comes, that he's going to be able to find those mines. And so we've got to work circumspectly in life. We've got to make sure that we are careful. And so not as the unwise, not carelessly. Don't just go crashing through things. Put up guardrails. Be careful. And then in Romans chapter 13, verse 15, we read it. It says, and make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. You see, we know that our flesh, you know, when I go on a diet, the best thing you could do is just take all the food out of the fridge. All right? Because if there's food there, I'm going to eat it. In fact, I've got this really bad habit. When I go to my mum's house, I walk in the front door, give her a kiss, and go straight to the fridge to see what's there. I've been doing that ever since I was a teenager. But if I was going to go on a diet, one thing is that I would have to go into the fridge and I'd have to take some things out that aren't good for me and not put them there because I don't want to make any provision for the flesh. Part of me wants to go on a diet, but my flesh says I still want to eat those things. And so Paul tells us to make no provision for the flesh. Put up a guardrail to stop you from going over the edge. And so in any area of our life where there is a desire, everyone say a desire, you must have guardrails because legitimate desires can run out of control and they can become lusts. It's an important point. Anywhere in life where there is a desire, you need to put a guardrail because legitimate desires can run out of control and they can become lusts. Eating is fine, but if you don't put a guardrail there, you'll eat too much and you'll get unhealthy. Okay, so these desires, even these desires are God-given desires. They're not wrong desires. The appetite for food is natural. It's not a wrong desire, but an unrestrained, an appetite without a guardrail is going to lead to health problems. And so lust can refer to any wrong desire. The Bible talks a lot about out-of-control desires for money. It talks about out-of-control desires for sex. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, as abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. And so we're talking tonight about pornography. And I'm laying a bit of a foundation here, but I'm going to get very, very practical at the end. And there's going to be some things that you can take away to put a guardrail up in your life and to put a guardrail of protection up in your home and for your family. And so pornography is not a new thing in the world. Centuries upon centuries, cultures have had erotic drawings and depictions. In fact, you can go into the caves and you can see them hundreds, thousands of years old, these drawings. But the first time that pornography appeared in its current form was in 1953, back when they had a magazine. A magazine came out and involving Marilyn Monroe, I believe, in 1953. until recently, the only way to access pornographic material was in magazines and printed images. And then as time went on, you could access it through home videos. And so if you wanted access to pornography, you actually had to go out in public and purchase it. And for a lot of people, the fact that you had to go out in public to get it, that was enough to abstain. I'm not going to do that. How embarrassing. But now, in 1993, everything changed. What happened in 1993 that changed everything? Someone say it nice and loud. The internet. The internet came along in 1993. Can anyone remember the big chunky computers that we used to have? You know, we'd put them out in the lounge room. So the World Wide Web introduced to the public, and shortly thereafter, pornography was introduced not just in the shop or at the video store, but now it was accessible on the home computer. Back then, if you had a computer, you were very lucky to have a computer. And the family only had one computer. There was one internet connection. In fact, when you were on the internet, you couldn't be on the phone. Can you remember that? Trying to call someone? Oh, they're on the internet. I remember used to go on the internet. Used to get like 1 hour of access a month. You'd go on quickly. And then, oh, connected, good. Download your emails and get off before you use all your time up. And so it was on the home computer. But now, no longer is pornography restricted to the newsstand. It's no longer restricted to the desktop computer. Now we've got it in our pockets. We've got access on our phones, our iPods, our tablets, video game systems, our smart TVs, our computers. Pornography is everywhere. Everywhere. And so we need to build a guardrail. We need to protect ourselves. We need to protect our family. So I want to make some very strong statements, and it's all Bible right here. The first statement I want to make is that pornography use is always wrong. Pornography is the depiction of erotic behavior, such as pictures or writing, intended to cause sexual excitement. The use of pornography is sin. The depictions are a misuse of the sexual relationship that God created between a husband and wife. Rather than an act of a married couple or married love, sex is reduced in pornography to an act of lust. God's seventh commandment, which is a moral commandment in the Ten Commandments, says, "You shall not commit adultery." The underlying principle of that seventh commandment is to protect the marriage unit, to protect marriage so that the family could be protected. And so the only acceptable setting for sexual expression or the expression of sexual love, the only accepted setting is between, in a context of a marriage, between a husband and a wife. Everyone say a husband. And everyone say a wife. Jesus expanded on it further in the New Testament when he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, "You have heard that it was said to those of old." In other words, he's referring, "You heard what I said in the Ten Commandments, that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman," that would apply for men looking at women and women looking at men, "to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So married, yep, pornography use is adultery. If you're not married, pornography use is fornication. And so pornography use is always wrong. I'm going to explain why now. Why is pornography wrong? God does not forbid us to have things that are good for us. But God does forbid us. There is a reason why God tells us. He does forbid things that are harmful. Having designed the human mind, God designed our human mind. God is very aware that of the fact that marriage, the marriage union, involves mental faithfulness. Everyone say mental. The marriage relationship requires mental faithfulness as well as physical faithfulness. You can't separate the two. You can't be sleeping with someone else in your mind and think you're getting away without committing adultery. In fact, young people, unmarried, you can't have sex with someone in your mind and not be committing fornication. The only place for sexual, the sexual expression of love is in a marriage between a man and a woman. And so you cannot separate the mental faithfulness and the physical faithfulness, because faithfulness or unfaithfulness, no matter what it is, whether it's faithfulness or unfaithfulness, it always begins in the mind. You can't say, oh, I don't know why I did it. I just did it. No. It was conceived in the mind and it was acted out in the flesh. And so when you're faithful, it's conceived in the mind and acted out in the physical. When you're unfaithful, it's the unfaithfulness is conceived in the mind and acted out in the physical. In fact, what you say, the Bible says, as a man speaketh, as the words of his mouth come out, it speaks of what's in his heart. It speaks about what's in your mind. So every action, whether it's righteous or sinful, begins with a thought process. It is impossible for a person to allow himself or herself to be unfaithful in the mind. It's impossible to be faithful in the mind and committed to his or her marriage, relationship, and family in the physical. If you are unfaithful in the mind, you're being unfaithful, full stop. I wish the whole world could hear that. Said another way, basically this: pornography is guaranteed to damage the marriage relationship and your family. Guaranteed. And for those who are not currently married, pornography will damage your potential to enjoy a lasting and healthy marriage relationship and family life. Young people, if you're partaking in it now, it will damage your marriage in the future. I'm not telling you that. Science will tell you that. The general manager of the Institute of Criminology will tell you that. Doctors will tell you that. That if you are partaking in that stuff now, it will damage your future. And there are people here tonight that will tell you that from their past, that exposure to things like that have damaged them today. They wish that there are some photos in their mind that they wish they could just rub out. They wish they could just wipe from their mind. But you see, when you see something, young people, when you see something with your eyes, you take a photo of it. In fact, some of you, just do this for a second. Think about the last car accident you saw, the really bad car accident. You can still see it. See, your eyes take a picture and it goes into your mind and you can't forget it. So it's going to damage you. It's going to damage your marriage. It's going to damage your future. And, you know, if I said to young, hot-blooded young people, do you want to have great sex for the rest of your life? Everyone would say yes. And I'd say, well, keep away from pornography because it's going to ruin. I'm being a bit blunt, aren't I? Everyone's like, where do I look? Sometimes these sort of things fall to the pastor. The other thing I want to say is that pornography leads to death. Oh, a bit dramatic, isn't that? Pornography leads to death. The Bible says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth, everybody say it, death. Pornography use, and scientists and politicians again are acknowledging this, is a cancerous epidemic in our world. It is destroying people's lives. It is destroying souls. It is destroying children. It is destroying marriages. It is destroying families. And using pornography leads to death. Spiritual death, emotional death, marital death, family death, society death, because when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And our culture has treated pornography as something that is harmless, but it's not. Porn is such a terrible thing They say that it will wreck your arousal process in your brain and end up wrecking your sex life for the rest of your life. In fact, in America, I was reading this study, in America, there are young people that are watching so much pornography that now they can no longer function as a sexually and need to take medication so that they can actually have some sort of level of excitement. Because what happens is there is the transmitters in the brain, they've become so worn out. The track has become so worn that now they've got to do something bigger and better to enjoy pleasure. And that's why if you look into it and you read these reports that the government, there was a Senate committee commissioned to study this. There's a Senate committee that now it's not just people having sex. It's not just naked bodies. But now there is violent pornography where there is violence and beating and hurting people. Why? Because people that are watching this stuff have become so desensitized that it's got to be bigger and better and worse for them to feel something. That shocked me when I read that. It's not just naked bodies. It's not just sex anymore. It's as violent as they can get it. You see, there is part of our brain called the pleasure center. The pleasure center. Everyone say the pleasure center. When a baby is born, there's something beautiful that happens. They have an uninterrupted pleasure center. When you can see that when you walk up to the cot and the baby's laying in the cot and mum looks over the edge of the cot and the baby sees its mum's face and they kick and they smile, almost turn themselves inside out. They're experiencing 100% pleasure. Uninterrupted pleasure. What they are experiencing is going straight to the pleasure center and they are experiencing complete pleasure. Once upon a time, you know, in the olden days, back when my dad was younger, family entertainment, you could have a pleasurable night just singing songs around the piano. My dad tells of coming home from school, just waiting to hear half an hour of a radio program that he really liked. That would top the night off, wouldn't it? See, it was an uninterrupted pleasure center. You look at young children, you can give them a few boxes and they can just enjoy it. But as we go through life, we become so stimulated with multimedia and all that sort of stuff. That's why kids these days, the normal world is boring to them because the bar's been raised so high for them to experience pleasure. That's why you'll see kids that'll be on Facebook playing a computer game, talking to their friend and text messaging all at the same time. And when you turn it all off, they don't know what to do. What am I going to do? You mean we're going on holidays and there's not going to be internet access? They would rather not even go. Because normal life has become boring because when they're playing a computer game, they're in this surreal world. And the same is with pornography. When you stimulate your pleasure center, then you keep raising the bar. And I'm not going to go any further into this, but you raise the bar so high that you can no longer experience pleasure. And so it's a cancerous thing in our society. And so we need to have guardrails. We need to have guardrails. The Bible says that we need to put off some things and that we need to put on Christ. It says, put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Let me tell you, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome temptation. If you're trying to live this life and you're not seeking the Holy Spirit, you need to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit because it's the power of God that's going to give you power over sin and over temptation and the lusts of this world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. So get rid of some things. It's worth it. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth it. Amen. Psychologist Al Cooper, and this is where we get practical now. Psychologist Al Cooper once coined a phrase called the triple A engine. When he was referring, and he used this term when he was referring to internet pornography. It's as if, he says, that Pornography stands on a three-legged stool. A three-legged stool. There's something about three-legged stools. You've only got to kick one leg out and the thing comes down. A three-legged stool. And these are the three legs. Accessibility. Anonymity. Or being anonymous. And affordability. The three legs. Everyone say the three legs. Now, let's think about the number three first. Affordability. If we could make pornography unaffordable, then we could kick that leg out and the chair would come down. But the reality is these days is that it's free and it's everywhere. It's on the internet. So if it wasn't cheap, and in many cases it's free, it wouldn't have such a strong foothold in our culture because people would have to pay. I mean, some of us, when we download apps for our iPhone, even any app, even if it's 99 cents, we're like, oh, I'm not buying that, you know, go for the free stuff. All the young people are smiling. I'm like that as well. 99 cents, not worth it. Someone will have it for free, you know, an app. The second one is accessibility. Accessibility. So if we could make it not accessible, then we could probably cure society of this problem that we have. Let's say that we put a big computer in Fishwick and everybody that wants to go and look at pornography, they've all got to go in one big room and share one big computer. All right? Can you imagine many people wanting to go there? There'd be a few sick people fighting over it. But mostly, if we could make it inaccessible, we could kick that leg out of the chair and the chair would come down. Now, there are some ways. In fact, accessibility, it's a little bit easier to remove than affordability. But some of us need to make it not, if it's a serious problem in your life, then you need to cut it off. Not everybody needs a smartphone, especially our young people. We give them a phone, we say, oh, you know, I never dreamt I'd have to give you a phone, but just in case the bus is running late, here, have a phone. All right? We give them an $800 iPhone. I mean, they could, I don't know, they could cause World War III with these things. They're so powerful. But the reason we gave it to them is so they could make a call or a text. You don't need an $800 smartphone to do that. In fact, you get a $20 phone to make a call or a text. And so in some cases, especially if we have a problem with it, maybe we need to get rid of that thing. And say, there's something else I can use. Accessibility. The other thing is to make it, to bring your computer out into public. It's not accessible then, because people will see. In fact, when Jesus gave advice regarding temptation, he said this, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. I'm not telling you to pluck your eyes out, all right? And cast it from thee. For it is profitable for you. It's better for you to go to heaven without one eye or two eyes than go to hell with both your eyes. And if your right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is better for you to go to heaven without any arms or any hands than to go to hell. So I'm not telling you to pluck your eyes out or cut your hands off. But I'm telling you that if your phone causes you to sin, then get a different phone. A cheaper phone. Save some money. Sell your old phone on Gumtree or something. Go on a holiday with all that money. You could buy a week's accommodation down the coast. And you could also cure your problem. Bargain. But that's a hard one to kick out. But one of the easiest ones to kick out is the number two, being anonymous. And this is what I want to address today, being accountable. Everyone say accountable. John chapter 3 verse 19 to 21 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In fact, most pornography, studies will tell you, is accessed at night. My dad's grandmother always used to tell him, nothing good, Johnny, happens after 10 o'clock. And it's true. My dad can remember the old days when his grandmother would look out the Venetian blinds and one of the neighbors were coming home late. After 10. He can remember her looking out the Venetian blinds as she looked out into the street in a little busybody, I guess. She saw the neighbors coming home and she said, dirty stop outs. Nothing good happens after 10. And the Bible tells us that people like to be in the dark because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. In fact, we're trying to have some security on our new building. And Brother Leon's a great security guard. But I know one of the best ways to keep that building secure is just put some lights up. Because they don't like the light. All right. It says, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest. So when things come out into the light, when you're in the light, when things are accountable, when you're not anonymous, we can kick that leg out and we can bring it down through accountability. In Proverbs 28 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so there are some powerful things. This is a very important thing right now. I'm talking to all of you, is accountability. If you have a problem, if you may have a problem, then you need to become accountable to someone. And I want to talk about that. Throw that next slide up. You've got this in your slides. And so I encourage, I've got accountability software on my devices. And if I access anything which is untoward, pornographic, or even questionable, even if it's got that three-letter word that begins in S and ends in X, it's going to go into that little email that goes to somebody that I'm accountable to. So there's four different types, and I looked these up. These are probably the four prominent ones. Accountability software. There's X3 Watch, which I think has a free version that you can install. It runs in the background, and if you access anything on your device, then it will send a report to your accountability partner. There's another one called Accountable to You. There's another program called Covenant Eyes. And there's another program called Ever Accountable. It's very important you put it on your devices. In fact, you delete some of the browsers, the Safari browser especially that Mac has. Delete that browser, block it, and then use a browser that restricts your access to these sites, that is a filtered browser. And so accountability software is very powerful. Why? Because it kicks out that second leg. You can no longer access it anonymously. Okay? So even if you do have a problem, let's say you fill it out, and there are some people in this church that have gone. I'm not saying they have a problem with pornography, but they don't want to have, and they've gone and set one of these things up, and they put me down as their accountability partner. So if they feel tempted, they jump on that computer at night, and they're about to type something in, they're like, pastor's going to get an email this week about this. Is it worth it? I've never had to call anyone, but I hope I never have to. So when we kick that third leg out, when we know that we can't be anonymous anymore, then it's not going to cure you, but it's a guardrail. Everyone say a guardrail. And here's an understatement. The internet can be a tempting place. Not just for pornography, but even shopping. Once upon a time, our wives had to leave the house. But now if we leave them alone, they're shopping in the house. I've met people that are addicted to eBay. eBay, they don't even go on holidays because they're on eBay all the time. I couldn't imagine anything worse. Addicted to eBay. So with accountability software, you choose the people you would like to receive the reports. So you put the person in. They receive a weekly report or a daily report. If it's your child, for instance, you can even set it up so you get a text message when they access it. Like you're sitting at work and bing! Johnny's looking at porn. Hello, Johnny. What are you doing? Nothing, Mum. You on the computer? Yeah. What are you doing? Oh, my assignment? No, you're not. Where are you, Mum? I'm not anonymous anymore. And so you choose someone to be accountability. So with accountability software, it will not cure you from the lure of temptation, but it stops us from pursuing it because it's a guardrail. So there's these accountable to you, covenant eyes, ever accountable, X3 watch, and there's other ones. In fact, PC Magazine often does like the best programs in 2017. It's got all the features, it's got the prices, so you can determine what's best. But then there's other ones which are called internet filters. And here's a couple of internet filters. We have here at church on our computers here, we have canine web protection. So if someone goes to access anything untoward on any of our computers here at church, yeah, it blocks them. But here's a few. You can Integrity Online, Custodio, Canine Web Protection, or Web Curfew. These are some of the things that you can use to filter your internet use. So you can't access it. When you try to access it, you can't even access it accidentally. It's not going to pop up because it's going to be filtering anything that comes through to your device. But here are some really good ones, and I encourage, and you want to get something decent, you have to pay, all right? So if you're just looking for free stuff, then you're going to miss out on a lot of the functionality. But for like $10 a month, you can protect your family. That's $120 a year. And some of us would spend more on our kids on other things, you know, like, you know, their teeth or their hair or something like that. Think just to make them look good, but you could be protecting them for the rest of their life for $10 a month. Not them not even accidentally being exposed to this stuff. Having those images in their head, keeping their what do we call it? My mind's gone today. Innocence. Such a simple word. But there's some family software, and this is really good. I think my sister has Outpact. These are really good, and all the kids here tonight are going to be really annoyed now that I'm talking about these, because these are powerful. Outpact, Net Nanny, and Family Zone. Family Zone is used by a lot of schools in Australia and used by a lot of organizations. But these three programs are great. And through paying a monthly subscription fee, you can use these. What these plans do is they can do instant text alerts for highly questionable activity. So all your devices in your family, your iPads, your iPhones, your computers, whatever you've got internet access to, you can run these programs on every single device. And whenever anything questionable is accessed, the manager, which is probably the parent, I hope, hopefully your kids aren't monitoring you. Well, stranger things happen in this world. You get a text. So if you pay for this, you'll get a text straight away. You can walk into their room and catch them. Great time to have a conversation, eh? Caught ya. I remember when I was at work, there was a guy back in early 2000s. He would sit at lunch and look at this stuff. And they could never catch him. But one day they caught him. They were monitoring him and they came down. It was very embarrassing for him. He got a big warning. But then there are alerts that are generated hourly for questionable activity. Alerts, you can have it hourly, you can have it daily, you can have it weekly, and you can go through the whole dashboard. And you've got the ability to put this on any computer or any device. If you pay the subscription, which is like $10 a month or $20 a month, depending on what you pick, you've also got GPS tracking on all of your devices. So you can see where your kids are and where they're using it. Now that does come in handy. Some of you might think, you know what, that's a bit full on. But wait till you have teenagers and you wonder where they are. I mean, my dad probably wishes he had this, you know, when we were young. But, you know, he just had to go to the back, Jonathan! And you're like up the bush, dad's calling, better go home. So it does not record keystrokes or anything like that. It's secure. These ones have been proven, all right? They are safe. You go and get some free one, I can't guarantee that it's not going to be letting out your security and things like that. You can put time limits on as well. So you can put time limits on your devices. You can block apps. Okay, look at this. Next slide. This is Outpact. Okay, they look like they're having fun. That's because they haven't got their phones. So Outpact is a simple family locator and parental control app that allows parents to locate family members and limit screen time by blocking internet and blocking app access. So you can go on and you can pull up the dashboard and click all your kids, and their internet goes off. That's one way to get them to the dinner table. They'll come out and say, what happened to the internet? Oh, I'm glad you came. Come on, sit down, kids. All right. So, or you can go through, you can leave their phone active while they're at school so they can call you, but you can block their apps. All right, it sounds good, doesn't it? I told you the young people won't like me after tonight. So here it is. You can see the little thing that there's Johnny's profile here. And so you can go in there and you can, I can't really see exactly, remotely block internet and app usage. In here, you've got a manual grant. And so you can have, so no access at any time, instantly grant access to your child's device during a manual block or a schedule. So you could say they're allowed to access between this time and that time, and then it turns off. Or you can instantly go in and block. You won too many times. Block. Okay? You've been good. You finished your homework. Unblock. All right? Then you've got scheduled device use. Set reoccurring device schedules for activities like school, dinner time, or bedtime. So you can block apps. You can block internet. The parents can control the devices. You can even block texting from their phones. You can locate them, and you can also allow screen time allowance. So once they turn their screen on, the time starts clicking. Okay, 1 hour's up, it's off. Can't have access anymore. So that's that Our Pact. And these other ones are similar. Net Nanny's a more popular one, but the parents set the rules. You can block apps like Snapchat. You can create web filters by categories, sites, keywords. You can put all the keywords in you don't want them to access. There's also like preset ones. Customizable child profiles. So some children may have access to other stuff that the other child doesn't. You can pause the internet. You can receive real-time alerts for issues. You can have it on any device, anywhere. Doesn't matter if they're on the Wi-Fi at home or whether they're on 3G or 4G. You can protect your child's smartphone, tablets, PCs, Macs, whatever they are. Wherever they're on Wi-Fi or a mobile network, you can protect them. So this is the Net Nanny. Safe content, so blocking pornography, time management, profanity masking, social media monitoring. In fact, there's a lady in a church whose child was talking to someone online. And mum got a warning. Okay? Isn't that good? Social media monitoring. Alerts and reporting. Personal accountability. Remote management. Look at this Net Nanny. So you can go through all the categories. So there's warnings, there's blocks, there's masks, and there's allows. Okay, so little Sean, who was last active on the 30th of July 2013, he is warned, and his parents are warned when he accesses things about abortion. He is blocked on anything to do with drugs or pornography, warned on suicide, blocked with anything to do with alcohol or gambling. Profanity is masked, tobacco allowed, lingerie and swimsuits warned. See, a lot of... You read stories about young boys that got pornography addictions. It got delivered in the mail. The brass section of the Kmart. Like you'd think, what? Yes. You'd be surprised how many instances there is of that. And so they've got these blocks. So mature content, dating sites, death or gore, nudity, sexual health, all of those things. So you can go through and you control it from the portal. And so that's a very, very good one. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's worth spending the money. Then you've got FamilyZone.com. This is a similar sort of thing. FamilyZone removes adult content for safe searching, restricts social media, manage screen time, home and mobile. It's got cyber support, so you can call up if you have any problems. I think the premium subscription for Our Pact is only $5 a month. That's a small price to pay to protect your child's innocence and to reduce their exposure. So I'm not really an expert on any of this. I've only just done the research, and hopefully right now I've put enough kind of ideas in your mind for you to go and do your own research. To look at the product, read about it online, and say, this is the one for us. I think this is going to work. And nearly all of them offer like a 30-day trial. So sign up for the trial, put it on your kids' devices, put it on mum and dad's device as well, and go through all of that because it's worth it. We need to protect. And the statistics tell us As much as we like to think that we are born again Christians, we don't have those issues. Hopefully we are less represented in the statistics than the world. But statistics tell us that we need to watch these things. And young boys and young girls are curious. When I think about when I was young, I was curious. And I'm sure if I had access to the internet, I would have been curious enough to look at some stuff. Because curiosity. Now, I'm not going to ask the men to agree. I'll be the only guy that was like that. But I'm sure there is more than just me that was like that. Curiosity. I mean, I remember at school, like, we used to sneak into the health aisle in the library and just look at the health pictures. I was curious. I didn't know about these things. I remember there was a book at our school called Where Did I Come From? It was banned. You had to ask the librarian to get it out for you. Because kids used to go there at lunchtime. It was always gone. There'd be a kid over in the corner. Anybody ever heard of that book, Where Did I Come From? I can see lots of nods. All right, as I finish, I want to talk about a few more things. Other practical ways to protect our families. Do not put computers in their rooms. Unprotected, unfiltered computers. You're asking for it. Don't let them go to bed with their phone. Don't let them have access to the internet in their room or their iPad. Don't even let them have a TV in their room. It was unheard of kids having TVs in their room. But if you you turn the TV on at the wrong time of the evening, you could see anything these days. And it's not just health shows. So I would go as far as say, Pastor is advising everybody here, do not let your children have a computer or a device in their room. You're asking for it. You really are. And if they have a computer in their room and they have a device in their room, go and check it, because I can almost guarantee you they're doing things they shouldn't. All right? Don't allow them to have a smartphone. Yeah, you need them to be able to call you if they're stuck. But they don't need World Wide Web access. All right? Simple. Okay? One of the brothers in our church, he's not really great at technology, but he's got a hold of this thing. He just turns the internet off. They live out in the bush. They can't get anything else. It's straight off. Internet's off for the rest of the night. No one has internet. It's a good idea. It's easy. You just turn the power off, the modem. The internet's off. And then he's got a family plan on his mobile, so his kids, because they have to travel, they can use. They've got these little phones. They actually have access on there. But he pulls them in and says, "Look at your data usage. What have you been using it on? Ask some questions. Monitor what they're doing." Okay, no secret passwords. Soon as you go to your child's phone and they've got a password on it that you don't know, I guarantee you they're up to something. All right? Get on it and have a look. Be a room raider. Be a phone raider. Pick up their phone. Go through their text messages. Ask them, who's this? Who's that? Why did you say this? What's this picture doing here? Let me look at your history. Oh my goodness, look at what you put the fear of God into them. They're scared to do anything. My mum only had to look at me a certain way. I was like, she knows everything. I used to come home from school. I must have been looking a little bit sheepish. She used to go, what have you been up to? Nothing. Are you sure? You tell me before I have to tell you. All right. I'm sure she probably didn't even know. But I knew that she was going to find out. And so our children are not our buddies. They don't have a right to privacy when they're that young. We're protecting them. So no secret passwords. Everybody can open up. And parents, let your kids can open up your phone. And here's the last one. This is very important. I should do a whole session on this. Talk to your children about pornography and sex. Age appropriateness, though, obviously. You don't go straight into the full explanation. But you make something age appropriate. Make it something that they can talk about. Tell them, say, listen, if you ever see something If you anything ever pops up, if you ever see something, come and tell me. Because very often they see something and they feel very guilty about it and they don't know what to do. Okay? By telling them to come and talk to you, you've opened up the door. They can get it off their chest. Because otherwise they walk around, they know that they've done the wrong thing. They feel so guilty, but they can't talk about it. Okay? So we need to have a proper conversation with them about these things. Talk to them about what is out there on the internet. And you know, you might think you're telling them something they don't know, but they probably already heard about it at school. It's true. They probably already heard about it. You probably think that you're waiting to break the news to them on the birds and the bees. Well, son, Dad's got something very special to tell you. Come here, son. I'll tell you about the birds and the bees. And son's thinking, I already know it all. What are you going to tell me different, Dad? I remember I said that to my dad. I said, tell me about the birds. And I said, Dad, I already know it all. Just be frank, Dad. I'll just tell him this. He goes, then, if you know it all, then what's copulation? I'm like, I got no idea what that is. He said, see, you don't know it all. Most of you might not even know what that means. Don't look it up. All right. But this is a very important thing. This is a cancerous thing in our society. It's the elephant in the room. It is the peril of pornography. And we've got to protect ourselves. Any pornography is a sin. Accountability, kick that leg out. If you are addicted to pornography already, then let me just give you two words. Stop it. Become accountable to somebody. Get help. Okay? If you have accessed it, then ask God to forgive you and don't go back. Just like Jesus did with the woman caught in the act of adultery. He said, go and sin no more. We can kick that leg out. We can bring that stool down. Just through one simple thing. Accountability. And families, let's go and be proactive. Let's get on the front foot. Let's not wait until we have to find out that our kids are being seeing some stuff we wish they never saw. And then put something in place. Let's do it now. For our sake and for our kids' sake. Let's all stand in this place tonight. Praise God. Amen. We don't like to talk about it, especially in church. But the world's talking about it everywhere. Everywhere. It's on the signs. It's everywhere. And so I believe that if anybody ought to talk about it, it ought to be the church to talk about it properly. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the warnings that we have heard in your word. Lord God, to be wise, to walk circumspectly, to be careful. Lord Jesus, I just pray for each person here today. I pray for our church, oh God. Lord Jesus, Lord, that we would walk circumspectly in this area of pornography, Lord God. For our own protection and for the protection of our children and our families and our marriages, oh God. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, help us to be diligent in this area, Lord God, and to be, Lord God, accountable. Lord, help, I pray for those, Lord God, who may be having an issue with this right now. Lord God, Lord, that they would reach out to somebody. Lord God, that they would put things in place to be able to deal with this addiction, oh God. I pray for those, Lord God, who are here feeling, Lord God, guilty about the things that they have accessed in the past, Lord God. I pray that they would find a place of repentance, Lord God, and Lord, they would seek forgiveness from you. And Lord God, that you would give them strength to overcome, Lord God, and not to go back to these things. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around all of our children, oh God. Lord, in this wicked world, Lord God, where it's everywhere, Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around their minds. I pray a hedge of protection around their eyes, oh God. Protect them from the evils of this world. And Lord, I pray, let the children of this church have blessed marriages, oh God. Lord God, let their marriages be blessed. Let them be fulfilling, oh God. Lord, I pray for the marriages in our church, oh God. Strengthen them, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord God, I come against this spirit, oh God, of pornography and porneia, oh God. Lord, I pray against it in Jesus' name. God, help us to leave this place, oh God, and to take action. Help us to apply what we've heard tonight. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You got something to do. You've heard whatever you need to hear tonight. Now you got to do something. Don't think it's not going to happen to you, because it will. I guarantee you. Praise God. Have a lovely rest of the week. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Make sure you shake hands with a few people before you go. If you want any more notes or you want to talk to me, feel free to come and grab me. Anytime, we can make time to talk. I'm happy to talk about these things. God bless you. Have a great week.